Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, March 1st. I'm Ray Graff. It's our Pets and Vet Show for the month today. And joining us is veterinarian Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital. Call now. You know it's a popular program, and we don't get to all the calls. So your best bet is to get in line. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Or you can email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. Again, we don't always get through all the emails, so email early. Or better yet, call 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin today. It begins after the news. Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's our Pets and Vets program this afternoon, and here to take your calls is Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. I was watching her on the monitor running from the parking lot, and she made it. Carrie is from the Del Mar Animal Hospital, and she and her husband Mike share their home and lives with two dogs, Marcus and Ivy, six cats, Oliver, Ziggy, Annie Oakley, Homer, Sapphire, and Rosebud, two fish tanks and a pond complete with fish and frogs. When not treating her patients, she can be found on a golf course or running around in parking lots, weather permitting, or working in her garden. Well, we want to catch your breath for a minute, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin?
Hi.
You are something else. You made it. You made it in time for the ringing of the bell. Ooh. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. We usually try to get a couple of emails in here and there in the program, and mainly it's a call-in show, so if you can call, do that. It's 800-348-2551. Carrie, wow. You know, you're in good shape.
Yeah.
I would have been in a pool on the floor after that mad dash. Good
for
you.
Yeah, unfortunately, I had an appointment up in Clifton Park that I was the only time I could get, and I knew it was going to be tight.
You're such a dedicated radio professional. It's amazing. So what's new?
So, I guess, I mean, the weather. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We've certainly, on the veterinary front, we've had people coming in with pets with ticks.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, a lot of people think winter, the ticks are gone. No. Ticks don't go away in the winter. They just, when it goes below freezing, they will find a nice warm hiding spot, but they never die.
Mm. They never die?
And, well, eventually they die, but they don't die just because of the freeze like fleas do.
Right.
And come a nice day, they'll come crawling out and look for a nice warm body to latch onto. So.
Well, I got to tell you, we have already 8 or 9 lines loaded here, so we might as well get to the calls at 800-348-2551. And let's go to Joellen in Warnerville, New York. Joellen, you're first.
Hey, Ray.
Hi,
Dr. O'Loughlin. Thanks for taking the call. I'll try to make it concise.
Okay.
We have two Maine Coons, Manfred, age 8, and Oswald, age 7. We got them both as kittens, 10 months apart, and they bonded extremely well. As they've aged, they've begun to sleep a lot and seem very bored, so we got a new Maine Coon kitten, the Prawn, as a gift from a stellar breeder in England. He came to us at 5 months old in January. Prawn was raised in a multi-generational cat household and is himself very social with both humans and cats. Prawn bonded with Manfred within 3 days, and now they're best buds, and Manfred has, as we hoped, become much more lively and interactive. Oswald, I don't know, middle child syndrome? He hated Prawn at first sight. He now hides in our basement in my husband's office unless we force him upstairs, in which case he hides in our bedroom. He doesn't use any of his old sleeping spots, no cat tree, no bookshelf. He knows my husband and I love him dearly. He's eating well. Litter box use is normal. I give him extra love and attention. But it's Manfred he misses who seems to have just turned his back on him. We have a feel-away diffuser. We've used flower essences in the water. We've done everything we know to integrate them. Prawn tries to make friends with him, but Oswald simply hisses and growls and moves away with the occasional swat, and Manfred is not intervening. Oswald's depression and misery is breaking my heart as well as his. And we're not going to rehome any of our cats. What do we do?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So how long have you had the newest one?
The Prawn's been here since January 11th.
Okay.
And he was fixed a week ago. He's 6 months old and 12 and a half pounds.
Okay. So, I mean, it's still within reason that Oswald could come around. It hasn't been that long.
Okay.
And, you know, some cats, like your other one, will accept a new cat very, very quickly. You know, they say that all cats go through three stages of acceptance. The I hate you stage, which clearly Oswald is still in.
Yes.
The tolerating stage, where they can be in the same room, they just don't want to nuzzle up to each other. And then finally, the all acceptance. And not all cats get through all those stages. It's pretty rare for a cat to get stuck in the I hate you stage. I have seen it happen. It's happened in my own house. But, you know, usually, and especially I find males tend to be more accepting of other cats. So, you know, I would continue to do what you're doing. You're doing all the right things. You know, the feel away is great. Does Oswald like to play?
He used to.
Okay.
He was a nutcase for that. Now he won't.
Yeah. I mean, if you can try and entice, even if it's, you know, having him be somewhat nearby, even if it's, you know, way across the room or even slightly in another room where maybe he can see what's going on and get the other two cats playing, sometimes that will make him think, hey, what's going on over there? And they're having fun. And, you know, and then sometimes they eventually break down and want to join in.
Well, so far he's just watching, but that is one of the things we're doing.
Yeah, you know, and certainly having him, you know, if you can have someone hold him in their lap and pet him and talk to him while this is going on, so he's getting positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
And
you
know, it's not.
If you hear some odd sounds, that is Manfred insisting on hitting the phone and saying,
nice.
Like what the woman is saying.
Yeah.
Well.
So. And you know, last but not least, you could eventually try some, you know, therapeutic drugs to try and help him if he needs a little, you know, Prozac or something to ease his anxiety about the new cat. But they generally will come around, give him some time.
At what point is it the point of no return? How many months do you have to wait before, okay, these cats will never hit it off?
You know, I think if you're getting out 3, 4, 5, 6 months, six months for sure, it's a tough case.
Well, JoEllen, thank you for that. 800-348-2551. Dr. Kerry O'Loughlin is our guest. Francis in Johnstown is next. Francis.
Hi there. 4.5 months old, mixed breed, cute little puppy. I would say weapons grade cuteness. She likes to snack on rabbit feces when we're, you know, training her to do her business outdoors. It's hard to get her attention away from the rabbit feces. And I was wondering, do we need to be concerned about that? Is it going to introduce her to parasites, those sorts of things?
Yeah. So, yes, you know, bunny pellets are a favorite snack.
You are kidding me. That is appalling.
Yeah. And, you know, well, they're mostly, it's mostly grass. I mean, that's what, you know, it's dried up clover and things like that. So
go ahead with the caller. I've checked out.
But in general, for the most part, bunny pellets are not harmful. There are really, I can't think of too many rabbit parasites that are going to pass through their feces into the dog. It's much more concerning when the dogs eat the rabbits themselves than their poop. Then they can get parasites.
No, she's not interested
in the rabbit itself.
In that, just
right.
Just what they leave behind.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's basically a form of hay for the most part. It's, you know, chewed up vegetation. So in general, I tell people not to worry about it. If you really want to stop them, you can sabotage the bunny poop. So find some nice spicy hot sauce that, you know, the dog isn't going to like and sprinkle it on. And then the next time the dog goes to eat the bunny poop, they won't think it's so neat anymore.
You know, I think the sentence sabotage the bunny poop might be the first time that's ever been said. Just, you know, we'll check. Jennifer in Westfield, Mass. Jennifer, you're on.
Hi. I'm still giggling about sabotaging. That's funny.
Me too.
Anyways, so I'm calling about my cat who, I guess, fits the stereotype of finicky. She is a Bengal who is approaching 4 years old, and she, you know, I guess the question is between dry or wet. Like, she just won't, we're constantly having to switch. We try and get the premium brand wet and stick with, like, the wellness brand or something like that, and then she just stops eating. And so we try and switch it up, but she seems to constantly be switching or not satisfied, and she tries to steal our food all the time, you know, but I didn't think it was probably good to, she won't eat any beef blends, she won't eat any fish blends, it's only turkey or chicken, and we're just having more problems recently with her just kind of not wanting anything that we're offering her. She doesn't seem to be losing weight or anything, but it's a constant battle, and we spend a lot of money trying to pinpoint what to do. And she really she gets savage over, like, if she sees us with chips or toast or turkey, God forbid. She just wants people food is what it feels like. And, you know, obviously we don't do that, but any ideas on things to try?
Well, you know, cats definitely need, there are certain things, amino acids that are in cat food and, well, in whole critters, which is what cats are made to eat. So the most, you know, all of the cat foods have been, have the right combination of amino acids. So yes, eating people food is not great. If it's a little supplement, a little treat, not the worst thing in the world.
Right.
So you want to do make sure she's getting some cat food, whether it's, you know, out of a can or, you know, you decide to go the homemade route. If you do the homemade route, you definitely need to get a recipe from a veterinary nutrition book that has all the right mix in it. Some cats they're tough. It is nice to have a little bit of a variety for them. Canned food
is
in general.
Is dry food okay if that's? Is like we mostly do wet food if we can get her to stick with that because that's what we were told. But sometimes she really just seems to want to go with the dry food. So we'll get like a good brand.
Right.
Is it an okay option for her?
Is she a normal weight?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Dry food, it's not the evil, but it has been shown that canned food in general is better for cats. One thing you could do, especially if she's trying to steal your food, is they make busy treats that you can put the dry food in and the cat plays with it and it spits out little pieces of dry food. And so she has to chase her dry food to eat it, and that could entertain her.
Wow, that's modern technology. Yep. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. It's Pets and Vets today on Vox Pop, and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York. Custom exhibits, interactive kiosks, and commercial casework for special events, museum installations, and trade shows. EmpireExhibits.com. The Lathrop Communities, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for over 25 years, independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, in the heart of the Pioneer Valley. Lathrop.kendall.org. Pelham Auto Service, at the Amherst-Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com. And Edgar Bosick, Certified Financial Planner, Private Financial Design, South Hadley. Your life, your plan, your portfolio. PrivateFinancialDesign.com. Securities through Cambridge Investment Research, member FINRA and SIPC.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here along with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. It's Pets and Vets, and our number is 800-348-2551. James in Kingston is next. James.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call today.
Sure.
I just have a quick question. I have two American Pitbull Terriers, father-daughter combo, and for some odd reason, my female, her nails just don't seem to grow as much as the males do. I just don't ever seem to have to cut them. Just curious, do females just not grow their nails as much, or could it be something with their diet? Not really sure.
Yeah, I don't think it's a male-female thing, although it is funny because I have a male and a female, and I almost never have to trim my female dog's nails, and I do have to do my male. I think it's an individual dog thing. It can be somewhat the way they walk, although I know my two dogs, you know, live in the same environment, and if anything, my male dog runs around way more than my female. So I don't think it's necessarily wear and tear thing. I think it's just a genetic difference of who grows nails more than others. I've seen some dogs, oh my God, I knew a coonhound once that they'd bring the dog in religiously every 6 weeks, and every 6 weeks you could cut literally the length of your finger off of that dog's nails. It grew nails like nobody's business.
Wow.
So it's just individual dog differences. So.
So the diet wouldn't have anything to do with it?
Not really. I wouldn't worry about the diet. As long as everything else is good, their coat is in nice shape, and, you know, they've got nice, strong muscles, and I wouldn't worry about the toenails. The only time we worry about toenails and diet is if they're really getting dry and brittle and cracking. Sometimes that can be a diet thing, but...
Okay, that's actually another question that I have. Earlier in the winter, when we actually had a little bit of snow and ice on the ground, the females, you lost a few nails. They broke down to her quick.
Mm-hmm.
Could that have just been the environment, or?
It could have been. I mean, we would definitely see a lot more broken toenails in the winter. We were just having this discussion at work the other day. And, you know, I do think it does have to do with the dry air in the winter and the cold and going out in the ice and things where they can catch their nails a lot more easily.
All right, James, thanks a lot for the call. In the wild, a dog presumably would not have its nails clipped. How does a dog deal with that if it was in the wild?
Well, I think they're running around a lot doing all their hunting and everything. I'm sure they just wear them down.
So if a dog gets enough exercise, chances are you don't need to trim the nails?
Right. If they get enough exercise, if they're running around in a variety of terrain, and, you know, dogs that live in the wild are probably on a lot rockier terrain than your normal house dog.
Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and their diet is different, you know, so their nails may not grow quite as vigorously if they're on a kind of a poor, barely sustaining them diet.
You make a point. Our number is 800-348-2551. Candy in Orange, Mass. Candy, you're on.
Hi. I have a cat. It's actually my son's cat. In August of 2015, I mistakenly put a chair leg down on him and pinned him with the chair, and it did hurt him, and he attacked me that day, with reason, because he was feeling hurt and cornered. So, but now he still will get aggressive with me. He's fine with me if I'm with my granddaughter, but once Aurelia goes down for her nap, I'm open game. And I just was wondering how to tackle this and get this cat to love me again.
So it seems like he knows certain times when you're vulnerable versus not.
Yeah, well, he won't. He's very good with Aurelia, who's two, and he would never do anything near her that would be aggressive. So it's only when I'm alone.
Does he like treats?
It has worked occasionally to do that. But it's kind of, I mean, I could pursue that more if you think that's useful. He is part Maine Coon. He's extremely bright.
He has
an elephant's memory.
It might be interesting. So if you have time, you know, you put the baby down for the nap, and it's just you and the cat. You might want to. You could probably Google how to clicker train a cat. And have you ever heard of clicker training for dogs?
Referred to, but I haven't, don't know much about it.
So you get this, you buy a clicker, they're sold at pet stores for, you know, less than a dollar probably, or a dollar, and they make a little like grasshopper sound. And basically you make the clicker noise and you give the cat a treat, and you make the clicker noise and you give a cat a treat until he's used to the clicker noise being associated with a treat. And then you can start to teach him. You can teach him to sit. You can teach him to high five. You could teach. So if you work with him and clicker train him, and then he associates you with this positive thing, he probably would be much less likely to want to go after you.
Oh, okay.
So it'll give you a little bonding. Give you a little bonding experience.
Well, that's what I would like to do. I mean, I'm the one who gave him to my son, him and his brother, and you know, it's just. Kind of ironic because I'm the cat lady and this cat just doesn't like me.
Yeah, he's got too good a memory, I guess.
But
try and change the memories to something good with the clicker training.
Thank you, Candy. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Diana in Saugerties. Diana, you're on.
Hello, Ray.
Hello.
Thank you for doing this. I'm having a little frustration. My cat, Milo, will not drink out of his water bowl. And I change the water. I fresh water every day. And I, you know, kind of, every time I go anywhere near the bathroom, he runs in, he jumps up on the sink. He'll only drink out of the running faucet. And it's like, every time I go, I have to turn the faucet on for him. I'm afraid, he's going to get dehydrated. And I don't know, I got him as a rescue cat. He was 4 years old already, so I don't know what might have cause it. But he, and I'll even pour the water into his bowl, like from a height. Like, look at him pouring it. If, you know, if he wants to see it's fresh or something. I don't know, but he's got, and he digs in it. He's got to dig like crazy, and then he'll drink it off of the water off his paws. It's very bizarre.
Some cats like running water.
Yes, and
yeah,
Ray,
I don't know how to break them of it.
Yeah, Ray is exactly right. Some cats really like running water. I have one myself who we turn the faucet on every day for her to drink.
The easiest. Any like problem, or I'm afraid, you know, maybe some kind of, you know. I don't know, like he's got some kind of deficiency or something.
No, I think it's just a personal choice. The easiest thing to do, honestly, would be to spend a couple of dollars and get a water fountain. They make kitty fountains.
Yeah.
Come on.
They're not that expensive.
I don't want to have to do it, but...
You know, they're not that expensive. I used to have one for my cats.
Oh, okay.
And, a kitty water? Was it battery operated?
No, you plug it in.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, plug it in. Yeah.
You plug it in and it just recycles the water, and you just every now and then you have to refill it, and it just has a little pump that pumps the water around in a circle.
Well, that sounds entertaining.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's either that or you turn the water on every day in the faucet for him. But it's just a prep, you know. He's probably drinking some, and the other thing is, does he what kind of diet is he on? Is he on canned food or dry food?
Oh, that's what my friend would say. Make sure I give him a little spoon of canned food and he's got some good dry food I got that Chewies.com is right. Good chicken stuff. But yeah, I give him just a spoonful because he's kind of a big guy. He needs to lose a little weight too. So.
Well, he will lose the weight better if you get rid of the dry food and put him on canned food.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Dry food is fattening. Canned food is better. Because it's.
I thought it was the opposite. Canned food seems like kind of a treat. You know?
No, because of the carbohydrates. Cats don't do well with a lot of carbohydrates. So,
And he's a primary indoor cat only.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
And then if he has canned food, he doesn't need as much water because he's getting most of his water from his food.
There you go. Diana, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. However, the dry food, it's akin to drug addiction. Once the cat gets into that, I'll tell you that.
Doritos.
Comfort food. It's
just like Doritos.
Yep. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Marcel in North Adams is next. Marcel.
Hi, yes. We have a 10-year-old Australian Silky Terrier, and we recently brought a dog and a cat into the home. And this terrier is trained to actually go on a puppy pad. And so what's happening is because of the other two animals, he's marking his territory all over the house. And we know the why, but we want to know, is there a way to stop him somehow from marking his territory where he shouldn't be going?
So a couple of questions. You're saying he, so it's a male. Is he neutered?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Well, basically you have to go back to Puppy 101 training, where he is monitored at all times when you are, you know, there. And as soon as he starts to make any move to lift his leg or, you know, whatever, if I'm assuming he's lifting his leg on things, you know, he's given a sharp reprimand and then taken over to his puppy pads and then praised. It may mean keeping him on a leash so he can't wander off on you. And using a crate when you're not available. But you have to kind of do retraining. You also need to make sure that you clean the areas that he has marked very carefully with an enzymatic cleaner that you can buy in a pet store, you can buy online, that is made to break down the smell of urine. Because if he keeps smelling the pee there, he's going to want to keep remarking it.
Ah.
So.
Okay.
So retraining and cleaning really well.
Marcel, thank you very much. Is it odd, though, for a 10-year-old dog that has been presumably fixed for a long time and not marking territory to then pick that up again?
Well, I mean, if he's been the only dog in the house and now all of a sudden he's got competition, he could feel that he needs to stake his claim.
Our guest today is Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, and the number is 800-348-2551. Jackie in Tivoli is on. Jackie.
Hi. I have a question about sleep habits. We have a beautiful, friendly, I think it's about 10 months old kitty, and he loves to wake us up at 1:30 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning. And if we shut the door, he'll just sit outside and scratch and cry. So looking for some tips to try to at least, you know, bring that down to a minimum.
And I'm sorry, how old is this kitty?
You know, we got him at the DSPCA. My guess is he's about 10 months old.
Oh, so he's a young one.
Yeah, okay. He's still young.
Okay. Because sometimes we get the older cats who start to have a little senility issues that'll make them start doing that.
Yeah.
As a young cat, it's probably more boredom than anything else.
Yeah.
So I'm fortunate, and, you know, cats are kind of nocturnal, so that's his time to be up and playing, and he's trying to get you to come out and play with him. So what you want to do for sure is do not give in to his scratch. You know, if you close the door on him, you know, he needs to learn that he can't get your attention. You know, either you need to ignore him if you leave him in the bedroom and, you know, just roll over and put the pillow over your head, and don't let him wake you up to the point where you're interacting with him. And make sure he's getting lots and lots of play, you know, during the daytime hours. So,
during the day.
He's a little sleepier at night. But that's just a normal cat thing. He's like, hey, it's the middle of the day. Why are you guys in bed? Come on, play with me, you know. So he's just trying to, and if he learns over time that it doesn't work, eventually they learn.
Okay.
Thanks, Jackie. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551. Will in Stillwater. Will, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I have a Labrador Retriever, a 2.5-year-old, and this warm weather has me thinking about opening up my pool in a few months. He loves jumping in, swimming, swallowing water. Then when he gets out, he loves to drink the chlorinated pool water, too.
Oh, boy.
My question is, how bad is pool water for dogs?
You know, for the average, it's salty. So, you know, the chlorine and I've never had a dog get really sick from it. I don't know that they're going to drink so much of it that it would be harmful. You know, you could just try and train him out of it, though, because it's better that he drink just nice fresh water. So when he goes to drink out of the pool, go, no, come on over here, and, you know, offer him a nice fresh bowl of water and praise him and maybe put some ice cubes in it to make it a little interesting or even a little flavoring for a while to get him away from the chlorine. You know, you could put a little chicken broth or something in it.
There you go.
And just, you know, train him that he should go to his bowl to drink and not to the pool.
So no long-term health repercussions?
Not that I'm aware of. You know,
great.
I've never heard of any. Okay. I could be wrong, but
well, will a dog, will the normal bodily functions of a dog say, "Hey, listen, I've had enough chlorinated water. I'm going to stop now."
Yeah, and I mean, there are so many dogs that swim and play in the ocean, and I've never heard of them.
Water,
you know, right, getting sick from the salt water. I think as long as they can then go back to fresh water to dilute it.
Labs love water, though.
They do love water.
Let's go to Harper in Montague, Mass. Harper, you're on.
Hi there. So I adopted a shelter cat back in September who was about a year old, a little older than. And so we have an existing cat. So we quarantined her, and the first night he ended up busting into that room and really scared her. And she was really difficult to approach for a long time. It was a couple of weeks before she stopped growling at people going into the room. We tried feel away with her. I've tried the box drops with her. So she's great. Now with people, she's great with our baby. She's a super happy cat. As long as she is in one room by herself, she will not leave that room. I have tried to carry her out of that room when the other cat is locked away and that we are the only two in the house, and she will jump out of my arms and back into the room. And I don't know how to integrate her into the household. She is a wonderful, sweet cat. And our first cat just wants to play with her and be her friend. He loves the excitement of having a new friend. And I just wish that she felt the same way. And she's been quarantined since September. And you said to the previous caller that the six-month marker is when you should start to get concerned. And that hit for us yesterday.
Yeah. You know, it's tough. Some cats are timid by nature. And again, as I said, I found in my experience anyway that the females are a little harder to integrate with another adult cat, although usually as a young cat, they're a little more amenable. But she could just be one of these real timid cats that just, you know, doesn't want anything to do with another cat. As far as getting her out and about in the house, I mean, does she like to play? You could try, you know.
Yeah, but she will stop at the doorway.
You know, I would try,
to entice her out.
Right.
She's so resistant.
I would, try like one of those fishing pole toys, get her chasing that around, and then, slowly but surely go a little bit over the threshold and back in. And, it may just take a long time, but I would just keep trying to work with her. And again, worst case scenario, you reach for the drugs and give them something to calm them down. Again, she might be a good one, she's timid, to try clicker training with. Give her a little confidence, teach her some tricks, and then maybe you can use that once she's clicker trained to entice her out the door as well.
Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. The number is 800-348-2551. It's Pets and Vets, and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Curtis Lumber, featuring Great American Kitchen, Wellborn Cabinets, and Cambria Quartz Countertops, 100% American-made products by American workers, sold locally by Curtis Lumber, curtislumber.com. HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting their annual benefit Festival of Fools, Saturday, April 1st, at the Spa Little Theater, Saratoga Spa State Park, RSVP by March 24th. Invitations available online or 518-587-4427, homemadetheater.org for details. Schenectady County Historical Society in the Historic Stockade and at Mabee Farm Historic Site, presenting Winter Speaker Series and Kids Program, now taking reservations for walking tours, schenectadyhistorical.org. Howard Schaefer Media Marketing, Public Relations Services for print, electronic, and digital media. Howard Schaefer Media Marketing, News Development, Interview Prep, We Put You in the News, hsmediamarketing.com. And Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years, qfcc.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. It's Pets and Vets, and Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our expert guest today. Made it in the nick of time, she did. Fred and Hurley is next. Fred.
Hi, Ray. Hi, Carrie. I have a dog whisperer friend who recently, a couple weeks ago, lost her sweetheart, Comet, a lab chow chow mix. And she wants to get right back in the dog run, and at the end of last week, animal control in the town next to hers picked up an Akita, an eight-month-old male, and she went down to basically interview and see about adopting the dog, and didn't hear anything. Monday, they were going to make their considerations, et cetera, interview again, get references. And when she called back Monday, the dog had been placed with the local SPCA. She was informed that the dog had been turned over to a rescue organization out of New Jersey. And the dog, she told me about this, I said, well, call them up and try to get this. She said she had already done that. And they had a price tag of $800 on the dog.
Oof.
To claim the dog, and I'm wondering if that's ethical, standard procedure. Also, does the SPCA get a kickback? And I'm just wondering if you have any ideas on that.
It might be tough for a vet to answer that question.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
I'm not having ever worked or worked on the SPCA side of it. I do know, they they generally have some costs involved with these animals. They, you know, whether he was neutered or not, you know, they may have had him neutered and microchipped and heartworm tested and vaccinated, and, you know, and that can certainly add up. I know a lot of rescue groups and SPCA around here, it can run a couple of hundred dollars. $800? That seems a little steep, but I don't know what they did with the dog.
Yeah, they were willing to just turn her, you know, she was going to be able to just adopt the dog.
Right.
And, you know, so there was no fee involved. So.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, if it's just being adopted from the local, you know, animal control, and they've just sort of had the dog and made sure they couldn't find an owner and they haven't really done much with it, I could see that being a pretty cheap deal. But usually once they get into the shelters and all that, then they have spent some money, you know, with a local vet to get the dog vetted and cleaned up. But, I don't know about the $800.
Well, that seems
a little steep. But
maybe an investigative... Maybe do some investigation, Fred. Let us know.
Could be due to something in Jersey. I don't know.
Blame it on Jersey.
Blame it on Jersey.
Exactly. Over to Sarah in East Otis, Mass.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about a dog that we rescued. We adopted him when he was about between 10 months and a year old. He was from Manhattan. Evidently lived in an apartment building where he wasn't supposed to be, so consequently he had been put in a crate during the day, trained with puppy pads and that sort of thing. But his biggest issue, he's a little blue pit terrier. He's adorable. He's the third one we've rescued. But our biggest problem with him, which seems to be consistent since we've had him, which is about 7 years now, is he seems to have separation anxiety, and it's consistent, but it's not always to the point where at times, where this is when it's the worst, he literally licks or chews the pads of his feet until they've become open, like blisters. And he also, we leave him crated. It didn't take us long to break him of, I was listening to the earlier caller with the puppy pads, it pays to be consistent. We have an older pit rescue also who's, the two of them are best buddies. They're both males, but he did come in and thought every rug in the house, you know, needed to be, well, that's how he was raised. So it took about 6 months, but it was worth it. It was worth the diligence. This dog is a gem. He's lovely and wonderful. We have 7 grandchildren. They're all under the age of 5. And honestly, these are the best dogs. But this anxiety issue is, you know, when we know we have to crate him when we leave him alone.
Right.
If we put a blanket in with him, he literally shreds it to, I'm talking like 3-inch pieces, and he doesn't eat it. He shreds them. I mean, he'll take an entire king size quilt and shred it in 2 hours. That's consistent, so we have to crate him with nothing in there but a Nyla bone. But the chewing on the pads of his feet is not continued, but it's not all the time.
Now,
clearly, it's part of the problem. So I'm not sure how to deal with this.
Right.
We've tried everything.
Do you see him chewing on his feet?
Here's the thing. Yes, we've trained him. We finally resorted to a behavior collar. And when we see him when he's with us, and honestly, he's probably left alone. And it doesn't matter if the two of them are crated together, so we don't punish Mac anymore by putting him in there. Milo does it regardless. But he responds to the click now, to the warning. Well, we tell him to stop licking, and he's licking right now, and I'll give him the warning, and he'll stop.
Right.
And we'll tell him no, and then we praise him for stopping. Rarely do we ever have to give him the correction anymore. But see, when we're not with him, we can't stop him.
So my concern would be that the foot licking is not an anxiety issue. I think this could be a medical issue.
Okay.
And the most common cause of foot licking in dogs is allergies.
Mm.
And so I would I would take him to the vet and talk to the vet about this.
And, well, see, I have, and that's why I've called you, because our vet doesn't seem to think it's, she thinks it's, it is anxiety. So that's why I'm calling, because someone else mentioned allergies to us as well. Just another dog owner, a friend. And I said, gee, you know, I've talked to the vet about it, but she doesn't think it's that. So short of arguing with our vet, who's, who we really like and who's spot on with everything else, I guess maybe I should
I would make sure she's aware that he's also doing it in your presence, because you know, if it's truly anxiety, he should be doing it when he's left alone, and only when he's left alone. And then the other thing with the anxiety is, I went to a talk not too long ago, and they really say separation anxiety is overdiagnosed, and that if you videotape a lot of these dogs, they're bored. They're not anxious. They're bored. And you can see the difference in their facial expression and their reaction and everything, that they're just bored. And if they're truly anxious, you can see. Their ears are back. They're panting. Their eyes are bugging out of their head. And then they're doing their anxiety behavior. So another thing might be, try videotaping him when he's alone and
or
see
a,
what he does.
A doggy cam.
Right, doggy cam.
Let's go to Tina in Lansford, Mass. Tina.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 12-year-old male cat who's fixed, and I've had constipation issues with him. This past summer, I had him at the vet several times for constipation. We finally got it under control, but it's only with giving him pumpkin and Miralax every feeding. And I'm just wondering, what are the long-term effects of him having Miralax twice a day?
None that I know of, honestly. I use pumpkin and Miralax myself for my patients. I don't personally.
That's good.
But no, pumpkin is just a natural soluble fiber. And the Miralax basically just draws fluid into the colon from the body. So the only concern with Miralax is, as they age and get older, if they're having any kind of kidney problems and they don't have a lot of fluid to give up to the colon, it doesn't always work as well.
Oh, there you go.
There are some diets on the market that are made for chronic constipation that will sometimes work as well. Not to name names, but there is a Royal Canin GI diet that's fiber responsive. That I know one of my colleagues, her cat has had chronic constipation, and she swears by it. So that's another option. But sometimes the cats are too picky about eating the diet, and they're happy to eat the pumpkin.
Well, he's not picky at all, and he loves the salmon dog food that we give the dogs. And I mean, even if he takes a couple little bites, immediately, it's just like it must just hit the liquid and swell up. The lab that we took them to had mentioned something about megacolon.
I really don't know.
Is that something that's just there for like the rest of his life?
Well, if their colon gets too stretched out, sometimes it doesn't unstretch, and then it's very easy for them to get constipated over and over again. So you might want to talk to your vet about the, you know, the Royal Canin diet, or if they have another favorite diet that's good for constipation that you could try.
All right, Tina, thank you so much for the call. Our guest is Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, and over to line 9, it's Paul in Northampton. Paul.
Hi, Ray. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
Great show, and thanks for taking my call. Hey, I have a 2-year-old neutered indoor male cat. He's very social and talkative and playful and really well-adjusted. But I think he has pica. He eats shoelaces if we leave shoes and boots out. And he's raided waste baskets to chew on plastic bags, which is really worrisome to us. So we've made a really big effort to kitty-proof the house. And we just wonder if maybe he has a deficiency in his diet.
I don't think it's a deficiency in his diet. I definitely have known cats that love plastic. Why? I don't know. But he's not the only cat out there. And it's really a matter of just making it unavailable to him. You know, I think it's don't know if it's the crinkly sound when they're chewing on it. That I mean, some cats go crazy over, you know, foil or other things, but plastic is a big one. There are a lot of kitties out there that, and it, unfortunately, they can suck down quite a bit of it and it can get stuck. So it can be a concern,
yeah,
and certainly with the shoelaces as well. You know, if they get a big long string.
That could be a
bad one.
All right. Well, thanks, Paul. I've seen cats eat icicles from Christmas trees and such, but never plastic bags.
Yeah, plastic bags. Some cats will—they just like grab onto the whole shopping bag and just start ripping it.
That is weird. Cats are so weird. Clark in Albany. Clark, you're on.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm calling about a Maltese. I have a Maltese Chihuahua in mix, and every time we're every time we're home, he barks like crazy. But when we walk and we're taking him out, he's very quiet. And I'm just wondering if you had any ideas how we could help him or train him.
Oh, barking. It's not an easy fix in my mind. I mean, there are certainly negative reinforcements that can be done. You know, they make these barking collars that either give them a vibration or squirt a little citronella under their nose when they bark. Sometimes a couple of shots and they learn pretty quickly. I know a lot of people don't like that because it's a negative reinforcement. So the other thing is to work with him. One, you have to start with a base of behavior. So he needs to go to a good obedience class and learn some basic behaviors. And then I was going to say, and then if he's showing any barking behavior, you either distract him by making him do a couple of behaviors, you know, sit and be quiet, down, you know, any of those things. Sometimes people will teach him go to their bed and then praise every time he's quiet. It's not an overnight fix. It's not a simple fix. It's something that's going to take time and energy on your part. And some dogs are just hard to break. They just love to bark.
Let's go over to Janet quickly in Schenectady. Janet, you're on with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. Just a little background. I have a cat who had a fabulous checkup at the end of December. Blood work fantastic, everything. And last week, she seemed listless and disinterested and kind of like staring blankly in space. And so I took her in and stunned and shocked to find out that she had liver and spleen cancer.
Oh.
And that her whole system is filled with, fluid of cancer cells and stuff. And so I'm just wondering if it would behoove me to have these cells aspirated, you know, regularly, because she's doing, I mean, amazingly great right now. I mean, you know, considering.
Right.
You know, she climbs stairs, she went to the basement, which she doesn't do a lot, and she gets up, walks around, she's eating well. She did have an appetite stimulant pill on Friday, and she hasn't had any since because pilling them is difficult.
Yes,
especially
yes.
her right now. And she's eating and drinking really well. She had had some subcutaneous fluid put in her then, too, but I haven't had that again. I was, you know, thinking about, you know, whether to do all that. But I wondered if it would behoove her to have this fluid aspirated on a somewhat of a basis while she's still, you know, really doing pretty good. She's comfortable.
Okay.
Well, the one question, Janet, would be, did your veterinarian draw any fluid out and look at it?
They did. They did. Okay. They did aspirate some fluid and they did send it to the lab and they affirmed that there was cancer and they were atypical cells.
Okay.
That's what they told me.
But it didn't come back. They didn't come back and say it was lymphoma.
No, she actually said, I think she said it was carcinoma.
Carcinoma. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Cause I mean, lymphoma, you've got a chance of some medical treatment. With the carcinomas, not so much.
Mm.
Right. I mean, the prognosis doesn't look good.
Right.
And
yeah.
I'm watching and spending a lot of time with her. You can imagine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, certainly
I didn't know if it would make her more comfortable.
Right. You might buy her a little short-term relief having it drained, and you could just see how long does it take for the fluid to come back and how good does she feel when it's drained. There's no, you know, perfect answer to that one. You just have to try it. Well, and I'm sorry about your kitty. That's
yeah,
sad.
Yeah, it is sad. It's a sad note to end the program. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, I appreciate you getting here
today.
That was a tough struggle for you to even make it here on time. So we appreciate it. And by the way, the link to the Del Mar Animal Hospital is right on our website, wamc.org/voxpop, and you can find out more about Del Mar Animal Hospital. Support comes from Spate Consulting and Coaching, Shelburne Falls, more than 20 years of working with leaders and teams committed to purposeful change. See it whole and move it forward. DLSPECHT.com. Penny Farthing Investment Management, Amherst, a socially conscious fee-only investment advisor of personal retirement and endowment portfolios, including the Bright Penny Community Strategies, brightpenny.org. At Mango Tree Imports, Saratoga Springs Fair Trade Shop with gift items from 60 countries, mangotreeimports.com. Thanks again to Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin for being here. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who was at the controls. Your phones were answered by Carol Lapani. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the great calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow we welcome back our old buddy Gordon Fricke, and we'll discuss automotive maintenance and repair. Right now, though, stand by for news.